Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the No Silica Cast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever-so-slight Macintosh bias. This is episode 9 of Podcasting on Podcasting. Well, I know I've been off the air on podcasting for a little bit, but I never promised technically it would be a weekly show, so it's going to be here and there, now and then, when I get inspired, and I'm inspired tonight. I'd like to start out with a little tip sent in by listener Willie.
Hi, Allison. This is Willie. I listened to episode 6 of Allison's Podcasting on Podcasting, and I'm taking some of her tips for the GarageBand recording. I have one myself. I don't really know anything about it. I just found it. But if you click on the little eye, the one about two-thirds of the way down on the right-hand side that Allison mentioned before, you get some track info. Talking track, by default, is set for male or female radio. I noticed that there's also a setting for EyeSight microphone, male and female. I've been recording this with the EyeSight microphone setting. I just switched to the male radio setting. Is there any difference in the noise? I can't tell. See for yourself. Back to EyeSight microphone, male. Anyway, thought I'd share that tip, and I hope my recording is even better now that I've listened to Allison's podcasting on podcasting. I think it's great not only for podcasters looking for tips, but for anyone that does audio recording at all. Such as me, apparently. So anyway, Allison, thanks for your series on podcasting. I still think that some of the listeners aren't really gonna benefit much from the podcasting on podcasting series, and you might want to add it in a separate feed. I don't know, maybe you could make a poll on podfeet.com. Anyway, have a great episode. Bye.
Hey, Willie, thanks for the tip. I never noticed there was an EyeSight microphone setting. I can't say I could hear the difference, but it's a cool thing to find, that's for sure. I put an image in the show notes and, of course, in the enhanced podcast I'm doing. I really hate doing the enhanced podcast, by the way. It's a bunch of work. Well, anyway, I put where Willie showed the EyeSight mic setting, and you can go check that out for yourself. So, Willie, you also mentioned making podcasting on podcasting a separate feed. I haven't done that for a few reasons, one of which is I'm not sure where it's going to go yet. I've run out of steam a little bit on and off, and I've pretty much walked through most of the steps I use to create a show already. I'm going to ask my podcasting buddies, Mac and Windows, what else they would add if they could throw in their two cents. I may do interviews of other podcasters on their ideas or just have them send in audio recordings. Not sure how that's going to go yet, but we'll see. That's why I didn't make it a separate feed. I didn't want a feed of maybe, 15 or 20 episodes. Seemed like it'd be good to throw it in here. Since it's not actually mixed in with the regular shows, people can skip the podcasting and podcasting episodes easily enough if they're not interested. I think I'll figure this out. If it does take on a life of its own, maybe it'll become its own feed. Well, a while back in the show, we talked about the advantages and disadvantages of using WordPress.com to host your blog for your podcast. Listener Ryan wrote in with a bit more information. He said, WordPress.com is free for most users. It provides a subdomain to WordPress.com. Like Al said, Bob's Excellent Podcast.wordpress.com is an example. They also do provide a pay-for option to buy your own domain name, so you could just have Bob's Excellent Podcast.com without the subdomain. Also, the free option does have some limits. The most important in this context is space. You have the option of purchasing extra space if you need it, and having a podcast with all those MP3s will grow to be quite large, so you'll probably end up buying more space eventually. Well, thanks for the information, Ryan. I did not know that you could host your own domain through WordPress.com. That's kind of cool. I wouldn't really worry about space limitations because my recommendation is that all your media files go all over on Libsyn.com anyway. One thing I found out when assisting my friend David set up a WordPress.com blog, though, is that you can't use any plugins on WordPress if you're inside WordPress.com. Plugins are a great way to enhance your site. Like, let's say you want an enhanced search capability. You want widgets for advertising. You want calendars. Just about anything you want to put in there is done in a plugin. Tons of functionalities you can add. If you have any desire to go beyond even the most basic setup, I'd stick with regular WordPress on your own domain, hosted outside of WordPress.com. Well, I realized this week that I haven't taught you how to create your podcast feed using the application Feeder from reinventedsoftware.com. I've talked a lot about it, but I didn't actually tell you how to do it. I teased you about it by telling you what it could do, but I never walked you through the step-by-step process. Well, I created all of the steps to do this using Screen Steps, of course, and I put the detailed steps under tutorials in the right-hand sidebar of the podcast website over on podfeet.com. But let's walk through those steps right now. The steps I'm going to go through here will give you an idea of how easy it is to create a podcast feed using the software Feeder. A podcast feed is a small text file that tells podcatching clients all about your show, tells them what it's called, the artwork to be shown, and most importantly, how to find the audio or video recording to fetch every time you post a new episode. It does not technically include that audio or video file, it sort of points to it really. This file that's created by Feeder is commonly called an RSS file or sometimes called an XML file, so if you hear either of those terms, now you know what they are. When you first open up Feeder, you're going to have on your left-hand sidebar a list of the feeds you've already created, if any, and in the middle you're going to see your podcast episodes within those feeds. Across the top, you have a bunch of little buttons, and the first one we're going to want to do is push on New Feed, which is a little green button in the upper left-hand corner. The first screen you're going to see allows you to first enter your artwork that's going to show in your podcatching client when people are watching your episode. So you can drag the artwork into the little window, you can upload an image directly from your hard drive, or you can point to it at a URL if you've already got that artwork online somewhere. Next, enter the title of your podcast. That's got to be grand and a lot of fun, right? Then enter the website where you're going to host it and a short description that will show in iTunes or a podcatching client when someone's looking for your podcast. You want to enter your name as the author and then enter some keywords separated by commas that'll give people an extra easier way to find your podcast. The final step on this page is to allow you to set the show advisory. This is a courtesy to your listeners to let them know whether your show is clean or explicit. It's a good idea to set this tag just for them. Hit continue, and now you're given the option to enter up to 3 iTunes categories and subcategories. You do that by hitting on the little plus symbol down in the bottom left of that little empty screen. Apple decided to set up their own categories, which are non-standard to anybody else, but what are you going to do? They help put podcasting on the map, so I guess we have to forgive them. The last thing you're going to do on this same page is you're going to enter your name and email address, which will allow Apple to contact you. I don't know why, but if they ever wanted to, now they can. Next up, you're going to choose a file name and location for the feed. Again, this is that feed file I was talking about that ends in the extension .xml. You can name this anything you want that'll help you remember what it's called. You can save it in your Feeder's library, or you can put it in another location. I keep mine in Feeder's library, which is, it's found in your username /library/feeder/feeds. The main thing you got to remember wherever you put it is to back that file up so you can keep a copy. Once you choose that name, you can then hit finish. Now, finish sounds exciting. What it actually means is you finished setting up the podcast itself, but you haven't actually added any episode information about it yet. It's just the structure of the podcast, you know, the big picture. After you hit finish, now in the list of podcasts on the left, you're going to see your podcast name, and then there'll be a big empty spot where the episodes are, and it says add a new item or drop files here. You can either click that button or click New Item at the top of the screen. Next, you're going to start entering your episode information. Remember, this is the information about a specific episode, not your podcast in its entirety. To enter the podcast information, the kinds of things you're going to need to know is you're going to need to decide on a title for the particular episode you're talking about. Enter an article link, which is, in my case, I use a link to the exact episode in the blog. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg problem here is I have to create the blog entry before I can finish this, but the stuff that goes in here is part of the blog entry. So I kind of have to go back and forth and then hit go one right after another. Next, you have the publication date and time. I leave this set at auto, which is nice because it just sets it to whatever time you actually upload it. But once in a while, in the rare occasion that you make an error, I mean, I would never make any mistakes uploading my podcast, of course, you know, and I'm sure you wouldn't. But for the unfortunates who might make mistakes pretty much every week, you could go back and set that time manually to make sure episodes don't get out of sync in time. Next, you want to enter your name again as the iTunes author. And finally, you're going to click on the little enclosure button. The whole trick of podcasting is that an enclosure, or in this case, your audio or video recording, is actually attached to this RSS feed file. In order to tell the RSS file where that enclosure is, you need to click on the little gear symbol next to the URL and upload your enclosure file from your computer. If you've chosen to upload your file manually, you can then choose Fetch Attributes from File, and Feeder will automatically figure out the file type and length. You can also show where it is on the web somewhere. In my case, I actually upload it separately to Libsyn. Still not sure why I do that, I think because this wasn't invented when I started, but you can tell it to find the enclosure information on the web where your file is located. That's critical because iTunes actually, or your podcasting client won't know what to do with it if it doesn't know how big it is, what to expect. Feeder will now show you the size of your file, the file type, like for an audio file, it'll say audio/MPEG, and it'll also pull in the album artwork that you put into your file when you're encoding it over in iTunes, as we learned in a previous episode. Now I want you to save your file by either hitting Command S or choosing File Save from the menu at the top. If you forget to hit save, don't worry, Steve will remind you. Now you're going to be back looking at all the podcasts on the left-hand side, and you will see your single, one and lonely episode in the center section. If you click on it, you can see the description that you typed in the previous section. If you want to get a lot more information in about your podcast, there's a little info button, and clicking that slides out a tray offering you endless opportunities to add more information to your show. For simplicity's sake, though, I'm going to leave the selection of all this additional information to the student. I've only begun to publish a lots more information in there, and I'm not quite sure if you have to or not. If anybody thinks I'm wrong about that, I'd be glad to know about this. The next step you're going to do is actually publish your podcast. Up in the top bar, there's a bunch of icons like we talked about before. The fourth one over is a blue arrow, and it says Publish. I want you to click that button now. At this point, you're wondering, what more possible information could Steve possibly want from us? Well, we haven't actually told it the server where we want our files to be hosted. We haven't told it where the feed file should go. We haven't told it where the podcast enclosure should go. So on our next menu pick, you're going to click on Create a New Server and hit Continue. At that point, you're going to be faced with a screen that asks all kinds of geeky little questions about what kind of server. Is it going to be FTP, SFTP, what's its name, the website, the FTP address, username, password, Siteful. There's a whole lot of stuff in here. I want you to look at that screen and then call up your service provider, your hosting service, and ask them what you're supposed to type in there. I'm not going to go through and describe what it would be for everybody because it's different for everybody. Now that you've told it where the server itself is, you need to tell it where to save the feed on the server. So you need to enter the path, that's how deep into the website you want it to go, enter the file name. Now that can be the same file name as what you had on your disk, or you can give it a new name. Next, you can choose where to publish the enclosures. This is a case of where you could say you wanted the enclosures up on Libsyn, but you wanted the feed on your own domain. Finally, you're going to describe where to publish images. I don't publish my images anyplace special. I just let them go right up on the server with my feed. I know it's hard to believe, but we're finally ready to publish. The last thing you're going to do is you're going to see three things checked in the example that I'm doing right now. You're going to have your XML files going to be uploaded, your MP3 or whatever your media file is, and any artwork that you've got is going to be published up there as well. All three should be selected, and then you're going to hit publish. Congratulations, you have published your podcast using Feeder. Isn't that exciting? I know this was a lot to grasp, and maybe the little teeny images in the Enhanced podcast make it a little tough to follow along. So I really encourage you to go over to the website and go in the right-hand sidebar under Tutorials and look for Feeder Tutorial. And that's what's going to give you the step-by-step instructions with all the images nice and big. It's got annotations and all the words. You can really use that as a reference file to go through the first time you go to publish using Feeder from Reinvented Software. I want to stress that Steve Harris is not an advertiser on this show. I just really believe in Feeder because it makes my life so much easier. Every time I use Feeder, every time I need a new, there's just something I don't understand how to use. Feeder's already got it built right in, and I can just jump in and use it right away. Well, keep up all the great letters and questions, especially questions, things that you wish I was talking about that I haven't told you about yet. I'm running out of ideas a little bit here, so help me out if you want more information. So send me emails over at nosillacast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.